here's something we hope you'll really like.
Hello, cartoon fans, and welcome. We join our heroes today in scenic downtown Frostbite Falls, where the temperature is a balmy -5 degrees Fahrenheit, and Bullwinkle J. Moose is currently standing outside, knee-deep in the snow, next to his mailbox.
Brr, it sure is cold today. Hi, Mr. Mailman.
Well, hiya, Bullwinkle. What are you doing outside on a freezing day like this?
I need to give you a card to deliver to my Valentine's Day sweetie. I hope it gets there on time.
Oh, I hope so too, Bullwinkle. I'll do my best to get this delivered. As you know, we're running behind. With all the snow and ice we've had, most of our mail trucks are stuck. It was so nice of your little friend Rocky to help us deliver airmail to some of the harder-to-reach places. Flying squirrels are so much faster than mail trucks in this weather.
I just hope Rocky doesn't ice up and crash like those big old aeroplanes sometimes do when they get ice on their wings. Instead of whoosh, 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 it could be whoosh, whoosh, smoosh. Yuck. Poor Rocky. I miss having him here right now. He's my Valentine, you know. My very bestest friend in the entire world.
Why don't you just give the card to him instead of mailing it then? That way there's no chance of it being late.
Rocky likes getting mail. Well, he likes getting fun mail like cards and gifts. He's not such a big fan of things like tax bills. He really loves his Nut of the Month subscription. Boy, it's really snowing out. I hope he's going to be okay out there.
Oh, I'm sure Rocky will be fine, Bullwinkle. Now hold on a second there, and I'll get you your mail for you. Let's see, I have mail for Rocky, Valentine's card for Rocky, Bill. Final warning for collections? Yeah, junk mail, Bill, Nut of the Month Club. Oh, here's a piece of mail for you, Bullwinkle. It looks important.
It does look important. Look right here in the envelope. It says important. I'd better see what this is about right away.
And so, Bullwinkle waved goodbye to his friend the mailman and went back inside his warm house to thaw out. After making himself a big cup of hot cocoa with marshmallows floating on the top, he proceeded to open the important-looking piece of mail that was addressed to him.
Let's see. Attention, Mr. Bullwinkle J. Moose. Dear Mr. Moose, you have been selected to be the official narrator and MC for this year's Cartoons on the Radio show with the 30-time award-winning WGTD 91.1 Players. Me? Hosting a Cartoons on the Radio show? Gee, that is quite an honor.
Wait, you're hosting the show? What about me? I'm the official narrator here.
I don't know, Mr. Narrator, sir. I'm just reading what the very important letter says.
Well, there must be some mistake. I have a contract. What else does that letter say?
The letter doesn't say anything. I need to read it.
Yes, yes. Please continue reading the letter, Bullwinkle. Bullwinkle?
Yes, Mr. Narrator, sir?
Would you please read the rest of the letter?
I am reading the letter, sir. It's very interesting.
Out loud, please, Bullwinkle. Read the letter out loud so everyone can hear it.
Oh, sure thing. Sorry about that. Here goes. Please plan to arrive at Salem Elementary School on February 10th and be prepared to go on air promptly at 11:15 Central Daylight Time. On air? I can't do that. Rocky flies through the air, not me. I'm strictly a land moose. I get airsick.
Well, they mean broadcasting on the airwaves, Bullwinkle, with your voice on the radio, not actually flying through the air.
Oh, okay, I can do that. Neat. What else does the letter say? The show is a tribute to the late, great June Foray.
What a nice thing to do for such a talented person.
I 100% agree. But, who's June Foray?
Honestly, Bullwinkle, you should know that.
Why would I know that?
June Foray is considered by many to be the queen of voice acting in early animation.
What's animation?
Animation. Cartoons.
Ooh, cartoons! The music you play in your car.
No, Bullwinkle. Cartoons. Moving drawings.
Drawings that move? Ooh, that sounds spooky.
Oh, dear. I don't know if you can handle the truth, Bullwinkle. How can I put this gently? You are animated.
No, I'm not animated. I am a bull. My mama told me so. I am Bullwinkle J. Moose the First.
Okay. Let's try this instead. June Foray is very, very good friends with several other people you know. Like your friend Rocky, for instance. Rocky wouldn't be who he is without the talent of June Foray.
Well, any friend of Rocky's is a friend of mine.
Well, great. Now that we have that established... Oh, wait. Someone's here. Hold on a minute.
Hi again, Bullwinkle.
Long time no see, Mr. Mailman, sir.
Boy, I'm sure glad I spotted our friendly neighborhood narrator's truck right here at your house before I drove all the way across town to deliver his mail. Here you go, my friend.
Oh, thank you. Drive safely.
Goodbye again, Mr. Mailman. Hey, look, your letter says important on it just like mine did.
So it does.
Open it! Open it! What does it say? What does it say? I can't stand the suspense.
It appears that my request for vacation was granted, and that today's broadcast will indeed be covered by one Bullwinkle J. Moose, and not by yours truly. Strange, since I didn't actually request any time off.
That is weird.
Bullwinkle?
Yes?
I don't care. I'm going on vacation now. It looks like there's a script in that packet. You should start the broadcast. As they say in show business, break a leg.
Well, I don't want to break my leg, but I guess if it's showbiz talk, thank you. Have fun on vacation. Bye. Be sure to send a postcard.
Just read the script, Bullwinkle.
Oh, right. Read the script. Okay. Bye again, Mr. Narrator, sir. Oh, boy. So many pages. Let's see. Oh, here we go. Welcome to another exciting broadcast from the 30-time award-winning WGTD 91.1 Players. My name is Bullwinkle J. Moose, and I'll be your host for today's live broadcast from Salem Elementary School. Today's broadcast is part of our annual Cartoons of the Radio series and is our 132nd show of season 19. This season is dedicated to the late Michael Alstrup, who along with Dr. Steve Brown, founded the Brown-Alstrup Performing Arts Foundation and the WGTD Players. Michael is greatly missed by us all. We are live streaming this on WGTD HD 91.1 FM. And now, here's something we think you'll really enjoy. Wait, doesn't Rocky usually say that? The WGTD 91.1 Players proudly presents the 2024 Cartoon Shows on the Radio!
Natasha, you see this? Moose is hosting Cartoon Show.
Da, darling, I see.
Who does Moose think he is?
Moose got big important letter telling him to host show.
So?
So Moose host show. Nothing we can do about it. All part of plan. Mr. Big send Moose letter.
How do you know Mr. Big sent letter to Moose?
Mr. Big has big plans. Always very secret plans, though. He tell me.
When Mr. Big tell you?
When he sent important letter to me. Oh, he sent important letter to you, too, darling. Here.
Will you not give the important letter to me before? Mr. Big say letter. He needs Moose to host radio show to keep him out of the way for master plan to work.
Da, and we need to be ready to carry out diabolical plan. Mr. Big worried narrator would foil diabolical plan. So he sent narrator on vacation. Moose too stupid to figure out diabolical plan.
Do we know the diabolical plan yet?
Yet. Mr. Big will let us know when time is right. In the meantime, Mr. Big say we need to keep secret weather machine making big snowfall, keep squirrel flying around delivering mail, and away from here.
Mail call for Boris Badenoff.
Gimme.
What is it, Boris?
He's from Mr. Big. He says some smarty pants dog named Mr. Peabody invent time machine.
Dog invent time machine? Not likely. How dog do that without opposing thumbs?
May not know, but Mr. Big say we are supposed to get time machine for use in big diabolical plan. Big diabolical plan. Hey, Moose, that's your cue. Big diabolical plan.
Moose not very good as narrator, Boris.
Next time maybe Mr. Big let me narrate story. Moose, big diabolical plan. That's your cue.
Oh, wait. It's my turn to read again. Whoops.
Amateur, I do better job narrating with one eye closed.
Quiet, Boris. He's all part of plan, remember? You go ahead, Moose.
Right. And so that dastardly duo, Boris and Natasha, headed off to find a young boy named Sherman and his talking dog.
Talking dog? Just silly idea. Dogs do not talk.
Oh, but Moose and Squirrel do talk?
Hey, quiet! This Moose is talking. So, as I was saying, that nefarious duo, Boris and Natasha, headed off to locate the time machine that belonged to Sherman and Mr. Peabody the dog. Through the snow-covered lands they traversed, over hills and valleys, past the mail trucks and train station they traveled, over the river and through the woods.
It's cold out. Can we speed this up?
They heard their targets before they saw them.
Please stop throwing those icy projectiles at me, Sherman.
But it's a snowball fight, Mr. Peabody. It's fun. Watch.
Now look what you did, Sherman. You hit this nice bystander with a snowball.
Oh, I'm so sorry, mister.
Poor is covered in snow. He's funny.
More like his cold, stupid snowball.
Please excuse my young friend here. He meant no harm. Let us make it up to you. Please come inside and get warm. I'll make some hot cocoa.
Boris, this is good way to get close look at time machine.
As a dog, I have excellent hearing, and I'd love to show you my machine. You just needed to ask.
Mr. Peabody calls it his Wayback Machine.
Ah, show us this Wayback Machine.
Oh, narrator's line. I'm up again. Sorry, everyone. Hey, do you think Rocky is okay flying around in all this cold?
I'm sure Rocky's all fine. He was here just a little while ago with our email.
I'm glad to hear that. It's too cold out there for flying squirrels.
Actually, did you know that flying squirrels don't actually fly? They glide.
Well, I don't know about other flying squirrels, but Rocky flies. Whoosh, whoosh, swoosh.
Our friend Rocky might be an exception to the flying squirrel world. They're actually fascinating creatures. Did you know that in 2019 at Northland College in Wisconsin, it was discovered that all of the North American species of flying squirrels fluoresce pink under UV light?
So they glow in the dark? Cool.
But why, Mr. Peabody?
Nobody's quite sure what the evolutionary reason for why they glow in the dark is, but I personally think that it's so my fellow canine cousins can spot these squirrels and chase them more easily. Now, I myself, of course, am far too sophisticated to actually chase squirrels.
Enough about stupid squirrel already. Get on with the production.
That means you, Moose. Read script.
Oh, right already. Sheesh. And so, Boris and Natasha made their way into the warm home of Sherman and Mr. Peabody.
We're here already. Fast forward.
As they all enjoyed a hot cup of cocoa with those little marshmallows floating on top.
Oh, I like those little marshmallows.
Do you mind? It's my line. Anyway, Mr. Peabody told them all about the Wayback Machine and how it worked. He then suggested that since the show was a tribute to June Foray, that they look back at her contributions to animation. See, I can follow a script.
Why, yes, you can follow a script, my dear Moose. Well done. Take note, Sherman. It's important to provide positive reinforcement when someone is learning a new skill.
Entering the Wayback Machine, Sherman, Mr. Peabody, Boris, and Natasha all traveled back in time. Back they went, way, way back.
Wayback Machine, time travel, we get it.
That's why we call it the Wayback Machine.
Yes, Sherman, but our friends Boris and Natasha here need to learn a bit about Miss June Foray. Do you know where we are now, Sherman?
Why, yes, Mr. Peabody. We're on the Hollywood Walk of Fame in California.
That's right, Sherman. Miss Foray has a star here on the Hollywood Walk of Fame for her voice work in television.
But she did more than just voice work, didn't she, Mr. Peabody?
You are entirely correct, my boy. Her career included radio, theater, feature films, records, television, and even voices for talking toys and video games. But June was best known for her cartoon voices. She voiced characters for Hanna-Barbera, including Scooby-Dooby-Doo, Where Are You?, The Flintstones, and The Jetsons. She was as well known for the versatility of her work as the great male voice actor Mel Blanc was from Warner Brothers.
Oh, I know who Mel Blanc is. Didn't he provide the voices for several of the Looney Tunes characters?
That he did. Very good, Sherman. Mel Blanc provided the voices for Bugs Bunny, Daffy Duck, Tweety and Sylvester, Yosemite Sam, Foghorn Leghorn, and many other well-known characters. And while Mel Blanc was sometimes called the King of Animated Voices, June was called the Queen. They were frequently compared to each other. Why, Chuck Jones, the famous animator, was even quoted as saying, June Foray is not the female Mel Blanc. Mel Blanc was the male June Foray.
Oh, Queen Shmeen, if this June Foray was so great, why I not heard of her before?
My dear lady, you might want to sit down.
Why?
Because your voice was done by Ms. Foray, Natasha.
Impossible. We are people, not cartoons, and made up silly voices.
I know it may be difficult to accept, but you are, in fact, an animated cartoon character. We all are. A little bit of an existential crisis for you, perhaps?
Mr. Big would have said if we were just made the figments of someone's imagination, I think.
Now wait, darling. This sort of makes sense to me. This June Foray was called Queen of Animated Voices. It fits that my voice is like that of Queen. I like.
Okay, let's pretend you are right, Mr. Fancy Pants.
It's Mr. Peabody, not Mr. Fancy Pants.
Mr. Fancy Pants talking know-it-all dog. Who else has this so-called queen provided voices for that we might have heard of?
You're not going to like it, I'm afraid.
Oh.
Tell us.
Well, these you shouldn't mind. She provided the voice of Granny from Looney Tunes, Jokey Smurf, Cindy Lou Who, Lucifer the Cat and Disney's Cinderella. She was in several Waterlands shows featuring Woody Woodpecker.
Why you think we get upset about June Foray doing all these good voices?
Well, in addition to providing your own Natasha's lovely voice here, June also provided the voice for Dudley Do-Right's girlfriend, Nell.
Ugh, Nell. Everyone in love with stupid Nell. Nell not natural redhead, you know.
Kind of cute, though.
Hey, Nell complete airhead to fall for that loser Dudley Do-Right. Every episode, it's, help me, Dudley. And she always getting captured by Snidely Whiplash and tied to train tracks. Real woman should know how to take care of herself. And stupid Nell should learn to carry knife to cut free of ropes, not rely on idiot Do-Right all the time.
Ah, Dudley Do-Right, complete loser for sure. And Nell need to stop getting herself captured. Maybe we lose little respect for his June Foray. Said she voices a airhead Nell.
Maybe I lose a little respect, but it cancels out since she gives me my voice.
Mr. Peabody, are you going to tell them?
I'm not sure if they can handle it, boy.
Tell us what?
Well...
June Foray also provided the voice for Rocky the Flying Squirrel.
Sherman, you can't just blurt things like that out.
No, not Squirrel.
Impossible.
I'm afraid it's true.
You share voice with obnoxious Squirrel.
Oh, quiet, Boris. It's not funny.
No, it's pretty funny, Natasha. You and Squirrel.
No more. Take us back. Back to the future.
I'm afraid our time machine doesn't go 88 miles per hour.
What does that mean?
That movie hasn't been released in their timeline yet, Mr. Peabody.
I'm so sorry. That was a little bit of an inside joke about a different time machine.
A DeLorean.
The DeLorean was a flashy-looking time machine, but our way-back machine is much more practical.
I still like the look of the DeLorean. All those lights and the flux capacitor. It looked cool.
Function over fashion wins every time, Sherman. And a flux capacitor powered by a nuclear reactor is very impractical for time travel purposes.
Well, okay, so we can't have a DeLorean, but we do have a Doc Brown, so we're halfway there.
True, Sherman, but we have a Dr. Stephen Brown and not a Dr. Emmett Brown.
But both Doc Browns are creative geniuses. Don't you agree, Mr. Peabody?
Why, of course, Sherman, my boy. I'm smart enough, a dog, to know it's good policy to praise the person giving you a job. Besides, I think we have beaten this joke to death. All right, back to the future we go, everyone.
Oh, looks like I'm narrating again. Meanwhile, while our heroes were with Mr. Peabody and Sherman in the Wayback Machine, learning all about June Foray and her contributions to animation, another drama was quickly unfolding at the headquarters of the Canadian National Mounted Police, somewhere near Quebec.
Dudley! Dudley Do-Right! I need you here at headquarters immediately.
Surprisingly, there was no response.
Dudley! Where in the blazes could he be?
But Dudley Do-Right, that most respected of Canadian Mounties, that pillar of all things good and wholesome, was not, in fact, anywhere near the official headquarters of the Canadian National Mounted Police that snowy day.
Dudley, I need you here at once. Dudley!
And still there was no response.
Hello, Father. I heard you yelling. Is everything all right?
Everything is not all right. I can't find Dudley, my dear Nell.
Why, it's not like Dudley not to answer the call of duty.
Exactly. And we are dealing most assuredly with an emergency of epic proportions that requires his special talents.
Oh, my Father. Whatever is the emergency? Has the snow caused an avalanche? Are the people trapped in the mountains? Are there issues with the power grid?
Oh, Nell, I'm afraid it's much worse than any of that. I wouldn't want you to worry your pretty little head. But we must find Dudley at once.
I do hope he's all right. I couldn't bear the thought of something happening to my dear, dear Dudley.
And so Inspector Fenwick sent word out among the Royal Canadian Mounties that there was an emergency of catastrophic proportions that only Dudley Do-Right was capable of handling, and that their job was to locate him at once. All of the other Mounties trekked across the snowy mountains, the ice-covered hills and valleys. Over the rivers and through the woods they went, because, as every good Mountie knows, they always get their man. Hours passed, nobody bothered to check at the actual residence of Dudley Do-Right, which naturally was right where he was.
She loves me. She loves me not. She loves me. She loves me not.
Dudley was seated next to a pile of flower stems and surrounded by a few feet of flower petals on the floor.
She loves me. She loves me not. Oh, horse. That's the 365th flower I've checked, and it's still saying Nell doesn't love me. I love my beautiful Nell with all my heart, horse. More than Canadian bacon, more than ice hockey, more than my collection of vintage 1977 Star Wars cards, more than those little marshmallows that float on the top of a well-made cup of hot cocoa. I can't bear to think she doesn't care for me. Oh, horse. Oh, my very best, most faithful friend in the entire world. Whatever shall I do? Valentine's is right around the corner now, and I can't even face the idea of leaving the house, knowing there is no chance for me to be together with my beautiful Nell at my side someday.
What poor lovesick Dudley didn't know is that the flowers he had been mutilating all morning had all been provided by the only florist in town, and that floral business was owned by none other than one Snidely Whiplash.
Hey, where's our normal narrator?
Vacation.
I think I heard something about that earlier. How's it going? Have a flower?
I'm enjoying narrating. Hey, wait a minute. You own a flower shop?
Yeah, so what? Want to make something of it, Moose?
It just seems so out of character for you.
Does not. Keep reading. Stick to the script.
Okay, sheesh. Don't get grumpy. The floral shop was owned by one Snidely Whiplash, but in addition to providing for the floral needs of a small Canadian town near Quebec, it was also secretly the headquarters for Villain Academy. Well, that seems weird.
It's not weird. It's good business. Owning this shop is a fantastic deal for me. Secret headquarters for Villain Academy, legitimate seasonal income from Valentine flower sales, a place to store all the rope I use to tie people to the train tracks with, plus it's a great tax write-off, and I can usually claim a loss and score a nice tax refund every year.
Villains pay taxes?
Sure we do. We might be villains, but we aren't crooks. IRS Publication 17, look it up. It includes directions for reporting bribes, income from dealing in illegal drugs, and reporting the fair market value of stolen property. Form 1040, line 21. Or on Schedule C from 1040 of self-employment activity. But this flower shop is a legitimate tax write-off. And right now, with Valentine's Day, business is great.
You certainly made a lot of money selling all those flowers to Dudley Do-Right.
Him and all the other simpletons in town. I sell only flowers with an even number of petals. When they do that stupid love me not game, it will always come up not. Then everyone is all depressed and mopey.
How dastardly!
Ha ha ha! And that's what makes me a criminal mastermind. And while that idiot Do-Right is busy sobbing his eyes out because he's an unloved buffoon, I'm off to go carry out the next step of my secret sinister plan.
And what secret sinister plan might that be?
If I told you, it wouldn't be a secret plan, now would it?
Would it still be sinister, even if it wasn't secret?
Probably, I suppose it would.
So will you tell me the sinister part?
No.
Does it involve railroad tracks?
Maybe. Oh, who am I kidding? Of course it involves railroad tracks. It always involves railroad tracks. That's my trademark villain move, you know, tying people to railroad tracks.
I didn't know villains had signature moves.
Sure we do. That's one of the first things they teach us at Villain Academy. Plus, we work on our evil laughs. Check this out.
Ooh, that is a pretty evil laugh.
Thank you. I've been working on it. Give it a try, Moose.
But I'm not a villain.
You never know. I wasn't always a villain.
You weren't?
Nope. I was a used car salesman. Then I went to law school. And then I dabbled in politics.
So you were always a villain.
Everyone's a critic.
Well, I was always a moose.
Of course you were. Now, if you'll excuse me, I must head off to complete the next step of my dastardly plan. Goodbye, Moose.
Bye. Well, he seemed pretty nice for an evil arch-villain, but I suppose I should get back to the script here.
Mail call!
Rocky, you're safe! Good to see you!
Hiya, Bullwinkle. What are you doing here at the Flower Shop of Canada?
I'm narrating the show. Isn't that neat, Rock?
Where's the regular narrator? He's not sick, is he?
He's on vacation. He got a really important letter at the beginning of the broadcast and left suddenly.
That's strange. I've been delivering letters that are marked as very important letters all day today. Did it look anything like this letter?
White envelope, big red letters that say important, open immediately. Yep, just like this one. I'll set it on the counter where it will be easily seen.
No, it's even stranger. This box that I was supposed to deliver to Inspector Fenwick at the Canadian Mounted Police headquarters. I had to return it to the sender for postage due. But the return address lists this location as the Villain Academy, not the Canadian Flower Shop of Quebec.
Oh, I can explain that. This flower shop is also the secret headquarters of Villain Academy.
Well, it's not very secret if the address is listed with the Canadian Post Office. But how did you find out?
Snidely Whiplash told me. He owns this flower shop. He said it's a tax dodge.
Oh, Bullwinkle, that's bad. Being a supervillain is one thing, but messing with the IRS is a completely different type of trouble.
But we're in Canada. I don't think the IRS is an issue here. So, do you think we should just leave the very important package here on the front desk with nobody here to receive it?
I'm not sure, Bullwinkle. But since there's no mailbox outside and Snidely isn't here to give the package to, I suppose it's the best plan. Bullwinkle, stop shaking that box!
It sounds like it's ticking. Do you think we should open it so we can learn about his secret diabolical plans?
Opening someone else's mail is a federal offense, Bullwinkle.
Even in Canada?
I'm not sure about the rules in Canada. Either way, we should get out of this little shop of horrors and warn somebody that Snidely's up to no good. Does the script tell you what happens next?
No, it doesn't tell me anything. I have to read it.
Then read it. Quickly.
Let's see. So Snidely Whiplash quickly left the flower shop after speaking with Bullwinkle. Sure enough, he had a large rope slung over his shoulder, almost like he was planning to tie someone to the railroad tracks. His presence was completely undetected by the Royal Canadian Mounties, all of whom were out combing the wilderness for the presumed missing Dudley Do-Right.
Dudley's missing? I had no idea. How awful.
No, Rick. He's not missing. He's at his house crying because he thinks Nell doesn't like him. I read it in the script.
But that's terrible. We need to do something. You let everyone know he's okay. I'll go see Dudley.
It's like you're psychic, Rocky. The next line in the script reads, And so Rocky took a quick break from his official airmail duties and took to the skies, zipping along through the snowy clouds he winds, trying to locate Dudley's house. With his sharp senses, he eventually heard a high-pitched cry.
Could it be? I think that's Dudley.
Quicker than a car with bald tires sliding down a steep, icy mountain road, Rocky zipped through the air toward the source of the ear-piercing noise to find Dudley clinging to a photo of Nell and crying like a 3-year-old child.
Oh, Nell! Oh, my Nell! I think it's well. My sweet northern belle. My Nell!
Mr. Do-Right?
Oh, just go away.
But Mr. Do-Right, I have some mail for you.
Just leave it outside in the mailbox.
But I have a letter for you I think you'll want to open right away.
I don't care about mail. I can't live without my Nell.
But this letter, it's from Nell.
A letter to me from Nell?
Yes. The return address is from Nell Fenwick. And there are little hearts drawn on the outside of the envelope. It's addressed to my dearest Dudley. And it smells like perfume.
Oh, Nell, those deceitful flowers. How could I have been so fooled by them? She loves me not. Pshaw! Of course she loves me. My soul is healed. I am, after all, Dudley Do-Right, the most Canadian of all the Royal Canadian Mounted Police. How could she not love me? Thank you, Tiny Squirrel, for delivering this ray of sunshine to me.
You're welcome, Mr. Do-Right, all in a day's work.
And speaking of work, I must report to the main office of the Royal Canadian Mounted Police immediately. I'm certain they missed me at roll call. And from there, I must go see my beloved Nell. Come along, horse. Off we ride.
As Dudley rode through the growing storm toward the headquarters of the Royal Canadian Mounted Police, Snidely Whiplash was busy carrying out his own diabolical plan.
It's time for me to implement my diabolical plan.
Coming as no great surprise to anybody in our listening audience, Snidely Whiplash pulled out a length of rope and with another evil laugh, he proceeded to locate the beautiful Nell Fenwick, daughter of the inspector and love of Dudley Do-Right's life.
Stop right there. I've got you now, Nell.
Eek! Snidely Whiplash!
Give up now and come with me. I have you surrounded.
Don't be silly. I'm not surrounded. You're all by yourself.
Well, that's technically true, but I have a rope and I know how to use it.
Eek!
And so Snidely Whiplash quickly tied up Nell, slung her over his shoulder, and proceeded to carry her to the handy railroad tracks that were always conveniently nearby.
Oh, Nell, I think you've gained some holiday weight since I tied you last to the tracks.
How dare you, evil villain!
What, two-thirds?
You won't get away with this. Dudley Do-Right will stop you.
Your precious Dudley won't be by any time soon. He spent all day playing she loves me not on flower blooms that only had an even number of petals. The last I heard, he was sobbing his pretty little eyes out because his precious Nell didn't love him. Everybody who plays that stupid flower game will be unloved this Valentine's Day. I win, you lose, Dudley Do-Right.
How diabolical.
It is rather diabolical, isn't it, my dear?
Snidely then proceeded to tie Nell to the railroad tracks.
So, Nell, would you like to hear the rest of my plan?
Not really.
Well, too bad. I'm going to tell it to you anyway. That's another rule we learned in Villain Academy. Every villain must reveal the details of their plan to the intended victim before final implementation of said plan. Chapter 3, page 34, Planning the Perfect Job.
Well, it seems like that policy could backfire on you.
Rules are rules.
And so, Snidely outlined his diabolical plan in excruciating detail to Nell, who eventually grew so bored, well, she fell asleep.
Hey, wake up! Weren't you listening to my plan?
No.
Well, pay attention. Here's the good part. At exactly 2 p.m.,
the train that runs through town will come over the hill and hit me as I lay there upon the tracks.
I thought you were sleeping.
We go through this every time, Snidely. You don't even change the time the train arrives. or the location where you have me tied up.
But I can't change the plan. That's my signature villain move.
It also makes you very predictable, Snidely Whiplash.
No, no, Dudley, do right.
Dudley, I knew you'd save me.
I'll always be there to save you, my sweet Nell. A Mountie always gets their man. Now unhand her, villain, and give yourself up.
Do you hear that, Do-Right? The train is just over the hill. And if you've listened to my diabolical plan...
I didn't.
Well, you had paid attention. You'd know that you need to choose between saving your precious Nell or disarming the bomb I planted back at your headquarters. It's set to go off at 2, and you can't be in 2 places at once.
Dudley, my father is in that headquarters. The bomb must be the big emergency he told me about that he was dealing with earlier.
Choose, Do Right. Save the girl or save your fellow Mounties. Either way, you lose.
You fiend!
It's nearly 2 o'clock, hero. And now, like all good villains, I will leave the scene of the crime so I have some plausible deniability. I love it when a plan comes together. Ta-ta!
Dudley, save my father and the other Mounties. Leave me here.
But, Nell, I must save you. You are the love of my life.
But, Dudley, a wise man once said, the needs of the many outweigh the needs of the few. Or the one.
But you are my one, Nell. That changes everything. I cannot lose you.
I see the train, Dudley. It's just over the hill.
I can't get this knot untied, Nell. Oh, woe is me.
As Dudley struggled to get the knots loosened on the ropes holding Nell to the railroad tracks, Dudley's faithful horse assessed the situation and took matters into his own hooves. Running straight for the train, horse got the attention of the conductor.
Say, is that a horse up on the tracks?
Well, I believe it is, and look!
Oh, my. Is there someone tied to the railroad tracks ahead?
Well, you know, I think there is.
Well, what time is it, anyway?
It's almost 2 o'clock.
Oh, dear. Right on schedule. I bet that's Nell Fenwick tied up down there.
Yeah, the time and location are spot on for this to be the work of that nefarious criminal, Snidely Whiplash.
Well, tying people to railroad tracks is his signature villain move.
Yeah, we should probably stop the train, huh?
Oh, Dudley! The train stopped! You saved me!
Well, technically, horse saved you.
What time is it?
Let me check my watch. It's 2 o'clock.
Oh! Oh! Oh, no! Father, we'll be too late.
Never fear, Nell. Together we will ride to go help him. Come, horse.
As Dudley and Nell rode furiously toward the headquarters of the Canadian Mounted Police, the two noticed something strange.
Nell! What's that falling from the sky?
Why, they look like flowers, Dudley.
And sure enough, suddenly there were flowers falling from the sky. It turns out that the bomb that was supposed to be delivered to the Canadian Mounted Police headquarters had been returned by our own Rocky the Flying Squirrel to the not-so-secret Villains Academy located in the basement of the Canadian Flower Shop because of lack of postage. Hey, that ticket package we left at the flower shop was actually a bomb? We saved the Royal Canadian Mounties headquarters!
Yay! The good guys win again!
Dudley, Horace, and Nell approached the Mountie headquarters and noticed that it was not blown up at all.
Look, Nell, headquarters is fine.
And Father is all right.
Nell?
Yes, Dudley?
Will you be my Valentine?
Why, yes, Dudley. I will be your Valentine.
But with the only flower shop in town blown to bits, how am I ever going to get you Valentine's flowers?
Just at that moment, one of the flowers that had fallen from the sky landed at Dudley's feet. He picked it up, and damaged from the explosion, this flower only had 5 petals on it.
Look, Nell. She loves me. She loves me not. She loves me. She loves me not. She loves me.
Yes, Dudley, I do love you. But I hope you didn't need some silly flower to know that.
Oh, happy Valentine's Day, Nell.
Happy Valentine's Day, Dudley.
Dudley almost got a Valentine's Day smooch from Nell. Just as he was puckering up, in strode Nell's father, Inspector Fenwick.
There you are, Dudley. I've been looking for you. I'm afraid we still have an emergency of epic proportions to deal with.
But, Father, the bomb Snidely Whiplash planted didn't explode here. Wasn't that the emergency you were dealing with?
I didn't know anything about a bomb exploding, Nell. Is that what the loud noise I heard earlier was?
But if it wasn't Snidely's bomb, then what is the emergency of epic proportions, Inspector?
We are completely out of those little marshmallows for our hot chocolate.
You know, I really enjoyed being the narrator for this show, Rocky.
Maybe we can give our regular narrator more vacations in the future. But isn't there a little more script to finish, Bullwinkle?
Oh, yeah. Thanks, Rock. And so we end our tale near the smoking remains of what used to be a Canadian flower shop in the basement area, which also serves as a hidden bomb shelter for the Villain Academy. Snidely Whiplash is pouring celebratory cups of hot cocoa for Boris and Natasha.
Hot cocoa for everyone. All the little marshmallows in the world for only us here at Villain Academy. Brilliant idea to use the Wayback Machine to steal the original recipe for these marshmallows.
Here's to successful mission. We make Mr. Big happy. It's good to be bad. Happy Valentine's Day, Natasha.
I like little marshmallows floating on top of cocoa. This good Valentine's Day, Boris.
So I guess that wraps everything up.
Not quite everything, Bullwinkle.
Oh?
I still have one thing left to deliver for Valentine's Day.
For me? You shouldn't have.
I know it's your favorite. Moose Tracks ice cream.
Well, I gave the mailman your card. I guess it might be arriving late.
Nope. He gave me the card earlier. That and the renewal to my Nut of the Month Club from you.
Happy Valentine's Day, buddy.
Happy Valentine's Day to you too, Bullwinkle, and to all our listeners out there.
And here we are at the end of today's Cartoons on the Radio show, written and directed by Anne-Marie Schmidt, and featuring the vocal talents of Mike Bevito, Siegfried Kristoff, Todd Eves, Ryan Farrell, Brett Hodick, Natalie Lavoie, Anne-Marie Schmidt, Dan Still, and Kathy Zulke. The executive producer for this show is Dr. Stephen Brown. Also, thanks to Chief Engineer Dave Janzer, Audio Engineer Chuck Janzer. And finally, a special thanks to the Salem Elementary School here in Salem, Wisconsin, for hosting today's radio show. Support for the WGTD Radio Theater comes from Brown Alstrup Performing Arts Foundation. We are located here in Salem, Wisconsin, and on the web at brownalstrupfoundation.org. From all of us here at the WGTD Radio Theater, I'm Ryan Farrell, wishing you a great day. You are listening to WGTD HD 91.1 FM, serving Kenosha, Racine, Elkhorn, and Lake Geneva, on your gateway to public radio.